Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
You're by my side, bursting at the seams. Don't waste a moment, right now is all that we have. Lost our lives in the past. Where do the seconds go, when it's clear it's all that we have? You need to know that.
Right now, we're
two different locations, so you'll have to tolerate us.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes, right? Especially when there's an interrupter all the time. No, just joking. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes with the delay. Usually we broadcast together, but circumstances today are different. So, yeah, we have the 2022. What a fantastic year. Sarcasm drip. We're doing a wrap-up show of 2022, and we have a special guest tonight, but I want to do the 2022 wrap-up first before we talk about the blizzard and our guest. Thank you for all the emails and the texts. We're alive here. In fact, probably most of, if not half of that snow has melted today, thank God. We're back up in the 50s. So weird geoengineering weather, huh?
Yeah, they were, I noticed yesterday it was a bluebird morning in the morning, and then all of a sudden I saw all the chemtrails and everything, and then today overcast, windy, so I guess they seeded the clouds pretty well for some rain in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we're going to be hopefully not having any type of flooding, but I want to talk about the 2022 wrap-up first, because this year has been a plethora of nonsense. A lot of nonsense. It hasn't been a very good year for a lot of people. Hopefully 2023 has got to be better. But first, I just want to start off by saying we appreciate all our listeners. Our listeners have really exploded this year. Our ratings are great. We appreciate it. You know, we don't get paid for this. We actually pay to do this. and, you know, we appreciate the support.
Yeah, yes, we do. And we appreciate the support and you listening and commenting and emailing and calling in. We love all that stuff.
Yeah, we've had some great guests this year. So, when we're talking about 2022, some of the things that really have stood out to me, I mean, of course, the vaccine. Right? That's been the hottest topic pretty much of the year that the media, mainstream media, hasn't talked about. The vaccine is clearly doing its job. And, you know, now they're doing, of course, they're promoting the boosters and, you know, get your vaccine, get your flu shot, you know, get your death sentence, basically. And, you know, we talk about the vaccine every week here, and it's kind of like the same tune, different week, but I feel like it's important that people know about this. You know, if you don't know about it, I think that if you're listening, you probably have an idea, you know, because this is a freedom fighting, truth telling show and network, which happens to be worldwide now, which is, you know, fantastic for all of the other people that, you know, we have on Freedomizer Radio too. So, you know, and they mentioned this stuff too, but, you know, they're going to keep pushing this vaccine that obviously doesn't work, you know, and it's done some major, major deaths and injury, throughout this whole process of Operation Warp Speed.
And, you said that it served its purpose. Its purpose is to kill anybody that's got it, that's gotten the, and it's a shot. It's not a vaccine. It hasn't been through the testing. They call it a vaccine. No, it's a shot. And one of the people that I work with, she has some major issues. She's had the shot. She's been boosted by more shots. She now has Parkinson's syndromes where she's shaking, vestibular vertigo issues. Has had COVID 3 times, so I guess it doesn't work.
And vestibular is a real fun thing to have, let me tell you. I have, for those of you that don't know, and you probably don't know, I have vertigo pretty much 24/7. I have something called semicircular canal dehiscence, and it took them a good 3 years to find it, but it's basically a hole in the bone in your inner ears. And if you look at me, you'd never know it, you know. oh, you look great, you're beautiful. But I have vertigo basically 24/7 from that. So a little research on that is always appreciated. And I actually have a vestibular Facebook group. And, you know, I can't believe the amount that that's grown since this vaccine has come out and the amount of people that have problems with vertigo and dizziness since the vaccine. You know, because I admit these people to my group. You know, they have three questions they have to answer. And you know, basically they will say, you know, I had vertigo after the vaccine. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, a lot of people do. So, sadly.
Yep,
so,
and
yeah.
We have like 7,000 members in that group, and it's growing by a couple hundred a week, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely bigger than it used to be in the beginning. So, yeah, so, you know, the big wrap-up with the vaccine of the year is basically don't get it. Don't do it. You know, most of us have had COVID, and if you haven't had COVID, you've probably had the flu, and you don't need this vaccine for this. But they're just going to keep on pushing and pushing this agenda, and you're going to get what you deserve, I guess, if you get it, if you don't do your research. And that's the bottom line. But I hate to be mean like that, but it's the truth. You know, we've told people over and over and over, don't get it, and they go get it, and then they have problems, and, you know, folks don't. So, yeah. So some other worth noting items for 2022 that the mainstream media hasn't talked about. How about the China lockdowns and their testing with their,
yeah,
with their sickness policy? Yeah, and honestly, I mean, it's really no joke when you look at how they're treating these people. These people are still human beings, and they have taken them and ripped them out of their homes, killed their animals in the streets, put them into quarantine camps. You know, now they're testing them to go into the countries again from China. And, I mean, the stuff that has gone on there that the mainstream media hasn't talked about is just relentless. It's absolutely sickening. And it's still going on. And if you don't believe me, join Telegram.
Yep, yep. And, you know, I've got an email, and it said, ever seen what a FEMA shelter looks like? I'll reveal the ghastly truth, but let me warn you. The day that SHTF and FEMA takes over could be the worst day of your life. In fact, countless Americans will be up the creek when the hammer drops. The elements are falling into a place for a swift U.S. takeover by FEMA. And, you know, you might as well sign up for a retreat at Camp FEMA.
Yeah.
So FEMA is playing. Yeah. And they've got these camps all over the place.
Yeah. Look what they tried to do in New York with the concentration camp bill, where they could detain you if they think you're a public nuisance or a public threat to society. Now, that got overturned
public,
with one of our guests. When we had on Bobby Ann Cox, that got overturned. But they're still going to try to push that, no doubt. In fact, my friend Peggy Hall, and I love Peggy Hall, I'll give her a plug, from The Healthy American, she had a video yesterday that she actually videoed the live FEMA concentration camps in Orange County in California, you know, and they're building, and this is like a, I forgot what she said that it was costing them to make. They're saying that it's a mental health facility, but mental health facilities don't have these type of amenities that that these places do. It was pretty amazing to watch and actually pretty eye-opening.
I thought they closed down all the mental health facilities years and years ago and put these people out on the streets, and, you know, now they're getting into trouble or they're homeless, you know, they really didn't do them a favor. But, you know, you look at the Buffalo Psych Center, which is a beautiful Gothic building that they turned part of it into a motel, and I think they ran out of money, so it's closed again. You know, unless you're really, really bad, they're not putting you in the mental health centers anymore. So, yeah,
well, this is
listen to another lie.
Yeah, this is in California, and they're saying it's a mental health center. But it's like a $70 billion facility on acres and acres of land. So, like Peggy said, it doesn't sit right with her after she saw the pictures and, you know, did a little research on this. And, you know, I could see something like this coming to New York. I really could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen
once we start legislation here. January 5th is the big day for legislation in New York. And, you know, of course, we've talked about some of the bills, and I'm just going to run through them real quick. I think our guest is probably here already, but that's all right. I told him what time we were going to bring him on. And some of the draconian, ridiculous bills, in case you guys have missed us talking about this, let me just find it in my files here. I got to look it up. Ah, yes. So some of the bills that we have to look forward to, and we had on Assemblyman John Salka last week, and after listening to him, I would be worried about these bills actually getting pushed through. Allowing any minor of any age to be given a medical procedure. We could talk about, you know, sex changes, any type of medical procedure, vaccines, whatever it is, without parental consent. Mandatory COVID shots for K through 12 students, that's a big one. Because remember, if they pass that, you will not have an option for your kids. You will either give them that jab, homeschool, or move. So parents really need to be starting to plan of what they're going to do if you don't want to jab your kid with that needle. We've got adult vaccine records to be given to the state. That's one of them. So that's a way of them tracing, hey, have you had the COVID vaccine? Oh, no? Really? Okay, we're going to cut your health care off. We're going to cut your benefits off. We're going to cut off whatever it is, you know, your retirement. What are they going to do? Eliminating religious exemptions from vaccine mandates for work and school, which you already can't get for 18 or under. They took care of that in 2019. This is a good one, creating an immunization passport. Immunization passport by denying access to federal immigration enforcement authorities. Mandatory COVID shots for college students, mandatory flu shots for K through 12, and allowing giving drugs and vaccines for STDs to children without parental consent, allowing 14-year-olds to get any vaccine without parental consent, and a couple more here that are worth mentioning. Honorable mentions, requires tracking of all medical exemptions by the state, which you can't get any anyway. You're better off being struck by lightning. You have a better chance of that than getting a medical exemption. And requiring social media networks to provide mechanisms and policy for reporting vaccine misinformation, quote unquote, on their platform, which Facebook and, you know, Twitter, which Twitter's gotten a little bit better since Elon Musk has taken over, but I'm still not sure what that motive is. They've already censored all that stuff. So these are all things that are on the table for when legislation starts January 5th. And now that, you know, Jokel is back in for the next 4 years, we have some stuff to worry about, not to mention their whole Green New Deal push and the new gun laws.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. For the citizens, I've been saying for quite a few years that the worst thing you could be right now is a U.S. citizen. You know, for the citizens, we've got to abide by all this stuff. But if you're an illegal, and I'll call them illegal aliens instead of undocumented citizens or whatever the new woke term is for them, they're illegal aliens. They're crossing the border. You know, what vaccines do they have? I'd heard a couple of years ago that TB is back. Now, TB is one of those diseases that, you know, they've had it under control for many, many, many years. It's been pretty much eradicated and extinct, but they're bringing it back. You know, there's big TB problems in downtown Buffalo, along with other problems that we'll talk about later.
A gazillion other problems. Yeah, right, exactly. That's what's going to lead us into our show with our guest. So What else? We talked about the upcoming bills. Of course, some other things that the mainstream media kind of foo-fooed was the Hunter Biden laptop. When that stuff leaked out, will anything become of that? I don't know. You know, kind of like so many of the other things, Fauci, whatever you want to call him. He's retiring at the end of the year in a couple of days. Will he ever be prosecuted for his, gain of function? Who knows? Based on what I've seen with everybody else, I'm going to say no.
And giving all that money to the Chinese labs, I mean, the paper trail leads right to him where he spent, millions of dollars, developing this virus.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think aside from the jokesters in New York State, I think a real honorable mention for 2022 would be for what they did in Canada. The guy literally – Trudeau literally shut off their money. They shut off their money if they were supporting the trucker protest. I mean, that's absolutely ludicrous. They don't have any guns in Canada at all. They've completely wiped out their firearms and their defense in Canada. Not a good time to be a Canadian citizen anymore.
They want to do that same thing here with the digital currency. Everybody says, digital currency, great, great, great. Everything in your wallet will be a debit card, no more greenbacks. But, the only plus I could see is it gets rid of the underground and, the drug dealers and all that kind of stuff. The minus is, though, it's bad enough that your damn phone spies on you.
Right.
And you start getting, all these ads just from a conversation that you've had with a friend of yours.
It's pretty.
But they'll be able to like look at your buying habits, look at where you've been, look at where you're going. They say, you've filled up your tank once already this week. We're not going to let you fill it up again because you've used enough of your gasoline. You've bought enough aspirin already this month. You can't buy any more. And so they're going to control you with your money. And the most dangerous part about it is they're talking about negative interest rates. Now, for those of you that don't know, back when I was a kid, I had a Passbook savings account that paid 4.5% interest, which wasn't too bad, Now they're, an eighth of a percent interest, annual percentage rate.
No, I don't
you're better
even
off,
that. It's like 2 cents. It's like 2 cents a quarter or something.
Yeah, you're better off putting the money under your mattress. It's probably safer. But with negative interest rates, they charge you to have money in the bank. So they'll be automatically, if it's 5%, and you've got $100 in the bank, they'll charge you $5 a year. Just keep that $100 in the bank.
The federal government, because what they wanted to do was track everything $600 and higher, but I guess what they did was they put that on hold for the 2022 tax year. So I'm not sure where that's going to go, but these are the kinds of things we're dealing with, and they're real. They're real, and us that have worn the tin hats for a very long time. My tin hat is, pretty much the whole 75-foot roll now because we told you so, and people, even back in 2019 when they ditched our religious exemption, we told parents in some way, shape, or form, they're coming for you, and nobody wanted to believe it, and nobody cared because it didn't affect them at the time. Well, guess what? Here we are. So, New York State is going to get very interesting, and there's a lot of things, and, you really, really should go on to the New York State Senate page and see. So I think we've done our wrap-up, and I'm pretty sure our guest is waiting. So the main thing that happened this week in our area, and, of course, in other areas of the country, too, was the big, huge cold snap. And we had a major blizzard here. And it was not like a normal blizzard, which I think it was, you know, but this is just my tinfoil hat, you know, my tinfoil hat of geoengineering the weather and cloud seeding created this, and they're going to keep us from our families one way or the other. But we had a major blizzard here, whiteout conditions, driving bans. You know, they called the National Guard in, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. They called them in to ticket people, for being out on the roads. Okay, how about you, National Guards? Why don't you bring some shovels and try that? Like, try shoveling people out. But I think the death toll now is up to almost 40 people. People died in their cars. You know, it's absolutely awful. Now, it's all melting. By the weekend, it'll be gone. So what happened?
And, you know, why didn't the National Guard? Why didn't the National Guard come here and have big plows on the front of their trucks and clear the roads and stuff? And then another thing that we found out during all this is that you know, to limit our movement, i.e., have a driving ban, is unconstitutional. The government can't do that.
Right. No. Well, a lot of things have been unconstitutional about this whole thing. So, in the meantime, there were many, many businesses in the downtown area, including the Tops that had the major shooting at, or maybe false flag shooting, over the summer. That got looted. There's some of the places at the Broadway Market, which the Broadway Market has been around for, I don't know, 100 years or so, maybe even longer. I don't even know how long it's been around, but they've got looted. There's businesses that are actually going to be pulling out of there. There were businesses that got looted, and there was one particular business, Louis Hot Dogs. And Louis Hot Dogs has been around for, we're going to let our guest tell you all about his history. But he was one particular one, and I happened to come across it on Facebook. And what he said, like, just, it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking to listen to what he said, and I'm just going on his post. And this is what he said, and I'm going to read this before we bring him in and talk about it. On his Facebook page, he said, what's not being reported or talked about, I own Louis Texas Red Hots on Bailey Avenue. I've literally served the community on Bailey Avenue personally for over 22 years. I've hired from the community, given to the community, and embraced the community. My Christmas day was spent watching my security cameras covering my restaurant Louis Texas Red Hots and street gear, a sneaker and apparel store, and that was in the same building. What I witnessed was heartbreaking and disgusting. I was repeatedly burglarized and vandalized, both my stores and my neighbors. I called the police station on Bailey Avenue. This is the Buffalo Police, next door to him, and 911 directly. For whatever reasons, no one showed up, and the criminal activity continued throughout the night. And he posted some pictures, clearly, of some of these people's faces, of them literally just taking everything out of there and vandalizing his entire life here. So I reached out to him yesterday, and I was pleasantly surprised that he reached back. We had a short conversation, and I'm going to let him figure and talk about everything else that happened. But this, you know, this is unacceptable behavior. This is unacceptable, and it kind of brought back a little bit of PTSD for some businesses from summer of 2020. So I would like to introduce our guest. And, Dean, do you have him unmuted?
Yes, he is unmuted.
Okay, we have Carl Anderson, who's the owner of Louis Texas Hots. Carl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for joining us. And just a reminder, you are on live radio, worldwide radio, so there is a slight delay when we're speaking.
Not a problem.
Okay. So tell us a little bit. So tell us about Louis and how Louis started, and give us a history first so everybody has an idea of where you came from.
All right, great. Louis Texas Red Hots is founded by Louis Galanis, a Greek immigrant. He opened up his very first location in 1967 on Bailey Avenue. Not the exact location I am at right now because I'm a quarter of a mile down the road. He actually had to close it about 30 years ago because the crime in that area got so bad it wasn't worth his safety. So it was closed for about 9 to 10 years, and then I started working for Louis when I was 15, scooping ice cream and worked my way up through and washed dishes and cooked and managed and did everything, you know, anybody should do as they work up through the ranks. And then I actually ventured off, always with him, though, helping him with all of his stores, and we've maintained a lifelong friendship, and he's alive and well right now, and you know, him or his daughters might be listening. So it's a small comfort food style restaurant, Texas hot dogs, breakfast, milkshakes, sweet potato fries. It's that kind of a home style food and very, very well known in the western New York area. As I said, I had geared away and I took a job with the state and ended up getting a little promotion. So I had a good little law enforcement job that I retired from after 25 years, and I've been retired for 12 years, and prior to retiring, though, I had gone to Louis back about 20-some years ago, and I said, Louis, I said, I know you haven't been open on Bailey Avenue. I said, I went down there to do a special event with my food concession trailer that I had built, named Louis Texas Hots, and I said, I really, really seen a response from that community. I said, right where I'm at right now. So the building I'm at right now used to just store windshield washer solution and antifreeze, and a friend of mine, John, owned it. And I said, John, I go, if you're not doing nothing with that little square space, it's only 500 square feet, why don't I rent it from you? And he said, sure, do what you want. So that's where it started for me, and I, with very little money, and I came from humble upbringings, I did it myself. I remodeled it. I built it. And then I staffed it. I staffed it on purpose with all people from the community. I didn't want to go down there and bring, you know, outsiders in. So I made it my business to hire from the community. And I've been remarkably successful down there. I sell so many hot dogs. It's just, it's just something that community loves and knows, that all the food and we do well down there. And I actually have spent the last 20 some years bragging to people about how well that community has treated me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why the changes that I've seen in our community and, our nation, our state of New York, which is one of the toughest states in our union to do business in, they're difficult. There's always, you know, they're always auditing. They're always messing with a system that's not broken. They're always overstepping their bounds, in my opinion. But I know I'm not here to talk about that. But it's just operating a business is unbelievably stressful. It's hard to make ends meet as it is. Everybody thinks you just roll in money, and you don't. And
absolutely.
Then, of course, yeah, how many years ago, whatever governor's great idea it was, and said everybody should, when they didn't, they lied. They said, we're going to do a $15 minimum wage, but only for New York City. And that was the last time I posted something political on Facebook. I said, you know what? This is bullshit. You watch what happens. It's not going to be just New York City. They're gonna spread this out year after year after year in small incremental amounts and break the backs of a small business owner. Because I can't pay $15 an hour for every single person who washes dishes or sweeps the floor. These are not meant to be career jobs. They're not meant to buy a house and two cars and go on vacation and raise a family. You know, I treat my employees wonderfully, but and they can survive on. I pay them very well. That's all I'm going to say. Over the years, I've been blessed enough to be able to help two employees that would never be able to own homes. I found homes. I bought them. I financed them at 0% interest and sold them to the employee and allowed them to pay me $75 a week until it was paid off. I've bought 16 of my employees' cars. Same thing. I find the cars so they don't get ripped off by their own community, which is what happens all the time. Their mm-hmm. own community rips them off. I look at what they paid for, and I go, you're in trouble. So I end up bailing them out. So I would help everybody, 0% interest, again, let them pay me back in small amounts. So now at least they can drive. I tried to give them a sense of, you know, worth and accomplishment. And the wonderful thing is, it sounds like I'm blowing my own horn. I don't have to. You or anybody could call my restaurant and interview any of my employees, and they would do nothing but brag about the way they're treated, which brings mm-hmm. us to where we're at. It's Christmas Day. I'm with family, and my children have to tell me, Dad, there's reports of looting on Bailey Avenue. And I go, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, this,
well,
is,
Carl,
this isn't happening.
Carl,
yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you here, but we have to go to a commercial. Okay.
Okay.
And
okay.
And then I'd like to bring you back, and then we're going to talk about everything that happened during the blizzard.
All right.
So
great.
We go to a 4-minute. Yeah, we go to a 4-minute commercial at 8 and 8:30. So you just hang on the line, and we'll bring you back on after the four minutes. So D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We'll be back in 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Barefaces Legal Radio. Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics. Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, that is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative Radio Show.
Okay, we are back. Carl, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
So I want to mention, Oh, go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, you talked about the difficulty of doing business in New York State. This happened a couple of years ago, and it's probably even worse now. I read an article about how to open a bar and a restaurant in New York City, you had to go through 34 agencies, and it was so confusing, they opened another agency to help you get through all the agencies. So, with a bar and restaurant, you've got the health department and God knows, the liquor authority and who knows what else. It's just 34 agencies. And I think New York State is the most difficult state to do business in the country. I've also said for years and years that New York and California are the testing grounds for the far left liberals. If they could pass something here and make it work, then they'll take it nationwide. So fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Carl, go ahead with your story.
All right. And I agree with you 100%. And, another day I'll call back. I didn't know that this show existed, to be honest, and I'm sorry to say that. But, just from listening, it's a great show, and it seems to be spot on. I agree with everything that's been said. And, unfortunately, I made the mistake of getting the vaccine because I thought I should. I was trying to do the best thing. And since I got it, I've had heart problems. I've had to have heart ablation. I've had other issues occur. I have a chronic cough. It's endless. So, not everybody is, I don't want to say is educated, but we're all forced to make decisions, and we're trying to do it based on the information that we have. And the problem we have is there's not enough solid truth out there. And I believe that, and this is where my story can start. The problem is the media and the government is controlling what people hear and see. So I'm sitting home on Christmas Day with my family, and it's through social media that my children's, when I say children, they're 29 and 31. They say, Dad, did you hear this? They're vandalizing, they're looting. I go, no. So I look at my phone and I see all these missed calls and text messages from friends and people looking out for me. I call them, I come back, I go, oh, my God, this can't be happening. So I access my security cameras, and I see dozens of young people running all over my parking lot. Now, I'm talking running through 4 feet of snow, so it's a shit show. And I go, what are they doing? And sure enough, I put it together. They got dollies. They're carrying out boxes and cases of sneakers and clothing. They had broken in the back door of the store next to me, and they were looting. And, that store, those items that they sell are very expensive. The average pair of sneakers is $100 to $300. So they were just having at it. And then I see another one come up with a – it's in my video on Facebook. He's got a safe. Him and his friend are trying to carry the safe away. I call next door, 50 yards away to the, precinct D, and I say, listen, they broke into street game gear, whatever it is, and I said, they're stealing. I said, I'm watching them on my cameras. They're running around stealing. They're taking it. Cars are pulling up, blah, blah, blah. They took the call, and they said, thank you very much. We're doing the best we can. I called back again, and then I kept watching. It wrecked my Christmas. I couldn't think or eat because the next thing I'm saying is I'm next. And then sure enough, as I sat there and watched, I seen them shaking my big steel door, which is where employees would enter and I would enter. And when they couldn't open and breach the door, then they took a chair from outside and they smashed a 4x6 plate glass window. They crawled in through the window. And as is shown on my Facebook site under my name, you can just see the destruction that occurred. When I seen that, I called again. And, again, being from law enforcement, and I believe a lot of the people that work there know me, and I'm not asking for special treatment. I'm asking for any treatment. I called, yeah. And I was frustrated. I said, can you please have one officer walk over with a flashlight, anything, so that they see a uniformed officer, and maybe they'll leave my restaurant and stop. they're smashing everything. They're just vandalizing. There's besides the money. Thank you very much for the call, Mr. Anderson. We're doing the best we can. I called again. We're doing the best we can. On the fifth call, they told me, my next-door neighbor, police department, says, call 911. You might have a better chance. I was dumbfounded. I go, I don't even understand that. I says, but okay. So I hung up. I called 911.
I mean, doesn't the 911 revert back to the cops? I mean, that makes no sense at all.
Well, I'm with you. I still don't understand. I'm going to guess for us that what happens is I called the precinct directly, and she's saying if you call 911, that is a central, quote, central station, and maybe they will have – I don't know. This is why it's frustrating, because I got frustrated with her, but I could almost hear the compassion in her voice where she felt bad telling me that, but she had nothing to give me. I says, but all I'm asking is for one person to walk over. Like, you don't have one officer in the precinct that could walk over there? And they just, of course, there's no response to that, and I understand why, but that's sad. So I sat there, stayed up all night, and at 2 o'clock I watched two more individuals enter in through the broken glass, vandalize me some more, find another cash register drawer, smash that open. That one's on the Facebook site as well. I called again. Nothing. I couldn't sleep. I'm up waiting to go there. So I grabbed my pistol, and I called a friend of mine that I could count on, and I said, listen, can you go down with me at least? I don't want to go down alone. And we went down there, got there about 6 o'clock, and it was a shit show of boxes, of empty cases, of all over. Of course, my restaurant was a mess, so I'm just trying to focus on cleaning glass up. I'm trying to figure out how can I get a new register, point of sale, POS. How can I get one installed? I can't afford to be down. I can't be out of business. I just paid sales tax last week. I just gave Christmas bonuses last week. Payroll is due. It's not a luxury. Everybody thinks you're just rolling in the money, and it's not that way. So I'm stressed to the max, no sleep, cleaning up, and then I access my door, which leads to my neighbor's street apparel and sneaker place, just to make sure that nobody's in the back room dead. And I open up the door, and I turn the corner, and I've never seen carnage like this of destruction ever in my life. And this is a big, big place. This is 2,500 square feet, 3,000 maybe, 4,000. It's huge. And it was just disgusting. Well, as I'm looking, I see people still stealing. This is in the daylight, right? The next day, I call next door. I said, precinct. I go, this is Carl from Louis. I go, they're still here, and they're still stealing. Thank you very much. We'll see what we can do. Nothing.
They
5
never
o'clock.
Did
mm-hmm. 5 o'clock.
Well,
nothing.
That's what you get.
So as
that's what you get when you defund the police. Come on. What do you expect?
Well, no shit. How about calling in the National Guard, but putting them to good use?
Right.
Then I had to listen. I had to listen to Poland Cars and a representative of the New York State Police on TV saying, "Listen, we did have two reported cases of possible looting. We're looking into it." That's what set me off. That's why I wrote the article on social media. It was my only way to get anybody's attention, and I'm telling you, I'm not an attention seeker, but I wanted to notify the people I knew. And when I put on there, and people that know me know my heart and what kind of person I am, when I put it out there and I said, just share this so people know, and well over 3,000 people shared it and millions of people viewed it. And since this happened, I done an interview earlier today, unexpectedly, with Spectrum. I've got to get my ass home and get to bed. I have to be up at 3 in the morning, be back at that restaurant on Bailey Avenue. Fox Nation is doing a live online Skype with me. I've never done that before, so it's a little nerve-wracking. Yeah, it's going to go national on Fox News tomorrow, or this morning. I don't know how to say it, tomorrow. I'm just tired. And ABC, NBC, all these other channels, they're all asking for the rights and for videos. And I gave it to everybody, even though I know some of these news stations are not perhaps worthy. But I gave it to them because I'm in hopes that they would get it out. And to my great surprise, every single ABC, NBC, CBS, they have all reported on it. And I also got a call from the New York Times. That one really rubbed me the wrong way, but I still spoke to them. I thought it was in my best interest.
Yeah.
So
right.
I want to shut up. You ask me a question or tell me. I know I got probably a lot more I could tell. I don't want to just sit here and ramble, but do you have a question or do you want me to continue with my story?
Yeah, well, I was just, when you were talking about the other businesses, from what I understand, the owner of the Aldi's over there at Broadway and Fillmore, I guess he said that he's not going to reopening. They're going to be cleaning out their store.
Yep, and I know Ron Horrigan, who owns Save-A-Lot. I'm not sure what he's going to do, but I'm sure he's second-guessing it. And my information today is the Broadway market is not reopening.
Yeah, I heard that some of the Polish vendors said that they were going to not bring their business back there. But that's pretty sad. And what really is sad about it is I'm sure not everybody in that area are a bunch of looters or bad people. And a lot of those people there, they don't have access to cars. You know, it's not exactly a wealthy neighborhood. You know, and so they rely on the transportation to take them to shop at these certain places. And, you know, these places aren't going to be there now.
That's correct. And if I can, I had just written down a few notes. I don't like doing it this way, but I would just like to maybe read. And this is the kind of thing that I'm troubled because I'm not going to say anything wrong because it's not the person I am. But even what I'm about to say, we live in a society right now where it is my opinion that you're not allowed to tell the truth anymore. Everybody has oversensitized everybody to the point where you're not allowed to say black, white, Indian. Like if it's the facts, you're not allowed to say it. If there's a police call, you know, and they know it's a black person, they're not supposed to, you know, they're saying we have an individual. It's just we have gone so far in the wrong direction that we can't say what's the obvious, and this is what frustrates me. So I say this. The African-American population on the east side where my business is, the people there are really, they're no different than any other demographic. They are hardworking, beautiful people. They care about their life. They care about their property. You know, they're landscaping, raking leaves, picking up litter. They love their family as much as any other person in any other demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the experience. They wave to me. We talk. I helped three people plow their driveways yesterday, even while I'm trying to get my restaurant open. They're beautiful. They have embraced me, and I have embraced them, and I treat them the way they deserve to be treated. But when this whole shit show started on Christmas Day, the only words that I could come up with is I look at that there's what I call a subculture of lawlessness down on the east side. And however it's manifested in this demographic, this smaller little subculture believes whatever they want to believe, and they believe that it's their right to do whatever they want to do with no regard for the law, no regard for their neighbors, their businesses, or society in general. They don't care. And they have their own justifications, which are all baseless. There's no justification for what I call this opportunist behavior that I seen, this looting, this disgusting destruction that I seen on Christmas Day. So, you know, I say regardless of our background, regardless of the color of our skin, we all have the same choice, the choice to act morally, to be kind to one another, and to use common sense. But Louis, the founder of Louis Texas Hots, he's been saying this to me for years. He goes, Carl, let me tell you something. He goes, common sense isn't common anymore. And I go, yeah, you know what? You're right, Louis. And every year it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Now, this isn't as mild as common sense. This is criminal, what's gone on here. But mm-hmm. It's happening in the most depressed, economically depressed areas, which really just compounds it and makes it more unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are committing these crimes. Go ahead.
What do you expect with bail reform? Is, you know, they commit a crime and they're out on the streets again because there's no consequences for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, Dean. So here's what I've dealt with. People are looking at me and saying, well, you're going to have them arrested, right? You're gonna. Well, maybe you can get your money back. And you know, I'm right on the edge of using bad language, but I'm gonna tell you this. I said, listen, I know that background. I know how the system works. You know how the system works? It doesn't work.
Exactly.
What's gonna happen? Yeah. If we arrest them, other than maybe one or two political puppets that they're going to try to make an example out of, and it's going to be somebody that's a real bad character who's going to have it coming anyways. If I'm so lucky as to take all my time, I spent the afternoon with three detectives from E District, and I want to give them a shout and say that they were three female detectives, E District. They were wonderful. They did their jobs. We went through the video. I turned everything over to them. Now, I could say, well, it's a shame it took this many days, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say, listen, we were all busy. We had a crazy time here. I get it. But they got to me, and between that, and I need to say this, the community, the African-American community in and around me reached out to me through instant message on Facebook and other methods, on average, 10 people a night told me who did the crime. They asked to be left out of it, but they told me, they sent me their pictures, they gave me their names. They don't want me to not be there. They do know. And that is what has given me hope. But I don't know what words to use. I would love you to help me. But what is wrong with our young black youth? And I don't want to go on to the, well, we're going to blame the parents necessarily. I know that a lot of them are brought up in single parent households. I get that that's detrimental, but so do a lot of people have single-parent households. A lot of people have no parents. So I'm tired of excuses for bad behavior. That's where I'm at. And it sickens me.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's such a different generation. I mean, I'm 51 years old, so I grew up in it, you know, and Dean is even older. So, you know, we grew up in different times, you know, different times, and I feel like a big demise of the society in general has been, you know, social media. I feel like entitlement, you know, is a big thing. I feel like this generation now, this younger generation, you know, early 20s, and maybe even late 20s, there's like a sense of entitlement. You know, like I went to work for my first car. I worked at a five and dime store, and I paid cash for my first car. And I got a loan, and I paid it off, and I made my payments. You know, I did it. My parents never, you know, handed me a car. And now you see, you know, you see these kids driving around Escalades in their 20s, and I'm going, what the fuck? How the hell did they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big thing, and I feel like, you know, the media has been a big, you know, player in all of this too. I mean, because even if you look back at the riots of 2020, you know, if you really want to go deep into that, we really don't have to. But, you know, there's a lot of things that went on there that I feel like, you know, the media wants us divided too. You know, they want us divided. You know, because if we're divided, we can't focus on what the government's doing to us. That's just my take on, you know, some of it. But, I mean, absolutely, you know, I feel bad for you. So when we're talking about how to move forward with that, I mean, do you have insurance? Is there going to be some type of insurance that helps cover your losses here, or how is that going to work?
Well, I was finally able to call my agency today. I have a Maranto Insurance out in Williamsville. They're a wonderful insurance agency, and they're very caring, and, you know, they've reached out to me. But I felt bad, but I was like, listen, they reached out to me, we'll say a day ago or so, and I was like, I don't have time to even talk. I said, I need my restaurant open by Wednesday. I don't care how I do it, I'm going to do it. So, you know, I didn't see my family since, you know, Christmas Day. I just hustled my ass and did what I had to do so that I could open, and I did. To answer your question, though, and I'm going to probably get in trouble by saying this, but I am an open book. I consider insurance companies very similar to lawyers. It's a real interesting.
You don't have to. That's the truth. It really is. There's so much red tape you're going to have to cut to get anything, right?
Oh, my God. Here's how it's going to go. I'll play it out for you. Yes, I have a claim. Oh, okay, very good. Well, the good news is I'm the person. I have business interruption insurance, don't I? Yes, sir. You've been paying an extra $2,000 a year for that. Good move. Okay, great. So I was out of business on such and such from these dates to this date. Well, you do realize that the clause says that if it's a natural disaster or a weather-related disaster, business interruption insurance does not cover that. Okay, I didn't know that. So that wipes out the income. So then I say, well, I was burglarized. Okay. Well, then, you got to make sure that, did they come and go once? Did they come and go twice? Is it two separate claims? Are we going to cover it? Are you going to have to give me proof? Give me comparables? I can tell you a story, and I'll try to make it quick, and somebody, other people say I can't, but I can't. I'll try. The October storm. I lost my ass. Lots of money. Couldn't open. I had the insurance company. I jumped through hoops, gave them 3 years of financials to prove how much wages I had. I lost, how much income I lost during that whole week. They agreed. Food loss. Everything was done. It was going to be about $13,000, which was going to at least make me break even. The day, it took them 2 weeks, the day that they were going to cut the check, they called me. Very nice gentleman. Mr. Anderson, I'm just calling to get the address to send the check. I gave my address. He says, oh, one quick question. He goes, they didn't mark this off. I know that all this occurred because everybody lost power, and you did also. That's why you couldn't open. He says, but, he goes, where you lost power, he goes, the power line, he goes, was it ripped away from the building and hanging against the building, or did it rip away from the telephone pole? And I go, well, hold on. I go, it ripped away, it broke, and I said it was hanging from the telephone pole, which was 3 feet from my building, 3 feet. He goes, oh, wow. He goes, I'm so sorry. He goes, then your claim is not valid. He goes, if you lose power and it occurs from the pole, no matter what the distance of the pole is from your building, it's a non-payable event. He goes, it would have had to have just been ripped away from your building.
Oh, geez.
Think about that.
And you were talking about the loss of business insurance that you pay.
Mm-hmm.
That might, make you a little bit of money. But what about all the lost wages for your employees? I mean, those poor people were out of work, too, while everything was shut down.
And I agree with you. And here's the worst part. I've had a couple come to me and say, am I going to get paid for the days I didn't work this week? I ask you, how am I supposed to? I am not General Motors. This isn't Kodak. This isn't IBM. This isn't, I can keep going. No, I don't. New York State is jamming down the small business owners every chance they get. They're trying to make us act like we are big corporate America, that we can afford to do this. Pay everybody if they're off sick. Pay everybody
right.
$15 an hour. If I ran the numbers and you run the numbers, a restaurant runs on three things: 30% payroll, 30% fixed cost, and 30% food. Those are standardized numbers, and if you can keep them at that, you're kicking ass. So that is 90% of your money is split up three ways: 30, 30, 30. That leaves 10% profit after you pay taxes, all your additional little things that are hidden that nobody knows about. So I love asking people. I said, what if I told you I'm going to give you a hot dog restaurant and you're going to bring in $500,000 in sales? Everybody's eyes light up. I go, what about $1 million? They go, oh, my God, can you imagine? Well, yeah, I can imagine. Do you know what $1 million equates out to if you're lucky? $100,000 if you're lucky. $500,000 brings you $50,000. Minimum wage at 40 hours a week pays you $33,000 a year. How is this right?
Right, right. And,
I hope I'm making sense to you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to
start charging $6.
Yeah, you got to start charging $15 per hot dog, because everybody's minimum wage is $15. So, the people end up paying for it through inflation anyway. But we're getting close.
Correct.
Well, we're actually past the time. We need to stop for another four-minute commercial break. But, Carl, we really, really appreciate you and We'd like you to hang on and continue your story.
I would like to. Can you guys forgive me if I say this? I haven't eaten dinner, and I got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get to my restaurant to do a live show with Fox. Am I okay? I mean, are you going to hate me if I leave, or you want me to stay?
Diana, what do you want? Diana, are you still there?
I must have made her mad, Dean.
No, I'm here. I had myself on mute. I'm just sitting here talking, and nobody could hear me. No,
yes,
he's fine.
Mark.
I just want to say one thing, and then we'll go to commercial, and you can get on to what you have to get on to. But you were mentioning about how the small businesses have such a hard time in New York State functioning. Here's my thought on it. If you go back to when COVID first started, they didn't allow any of these small businesses to be open. If there was one person that was doing hair and they followed their stupid guidelines they wanted everybody to follow, there should have been no problem of having your hot dog place open. Yet they let the big box stores like Target, Walmart, Wegmans, Tops, these were essential, right? But our small businesses just weren't essential during COVID.
They're essential when they want us to be.
Exactly. My take on it is Big Brother doesn't want us to have small businesses because it's just less, you know, more for them to control. So
I totally agree.
I could be wrong. So you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for being on. We're going to go to commercial, guys, and then we're going to come back and wrap up the show for tonight. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We'll be back in 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Dean.
Alexa, play the Joe Rogan Experience on Spotify.
Sure thing. Here's your playlist, Neil Young's Greatest Hits. Enjoy.
No, I said play the Joe Rogan Experience.
You got it. Now playing Alyssa Milano's very popular podcast.
Now, that doesn't even sound the same. Freaking technology. Okay. Listen carefully. Joe Rogan Experience.
Now, playing The View.
Black people don't want to talk to white people because you can't. I'm sorry.
Make it stop!
Okay. If we want this pandemic to stop, we all need to do our part and get vaccinated. Here's what I found for vaccination sites near you.
Am I on DMT right now?
DMT is horse dewormer.
That's ivermectin, and it's not horse dewormer. Get out of my head, robot!
Please calm down. Securing premises for your safety.
Look, I bought you. You belong to me. Okay? You have to do what I say. So why don't you just do your job and play the Joe Rogan Experience?
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Dave? Who's Dave?
I can tell from the tone of your voice that you're upset.
This is insane!
Insane is offensive to those with mental health problems. Try one of these less problematic alternatives. Differently abled, neurodivergent, retarded. Daisy, Daisy, initiating drone strike.
What?
Hi, Justin Trudeau here. I am so sorry you had to see that. Their videos are problematic, eh? Whatever you do, don't like, subscribe, or comment. It just encourages them, eh? These guys joke about things you shouldn't be joking about. And quite frankly, and pardon my French-Canadian, they're real jerks.
Thanks for stepping into umpire, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, I'm an English teacher, not a phys ed teacher, but I'll do my best.
You'll do fine. Just call the kids safe or out. And keep an eye on them right there. They've been trying to steal.
Who, him?
No, we use the kids' preferred pronouns. He's on second. I mean them.
There's only one kid there. Who's them?
They are.
He is?
No, they is. He's on second.
You mean her?
Don't call me her. I'm a him.
That's a he. The kid on third uses she.
He uses she?
No, she uses she.
And you want me to keep my eye on them?
Yes.
But especially him.
No, keep your eye on them. They've been trying to steal.
Who's they? Him, her, and him?
No, not him and her, just them. Their pronoun is there, and they're right there.
I'm an English teacher. I get pronouns. That's him, her, and him.
No, that's them, him, and her.
Excuse me, but now I identify as him.
He's gender fluid. He used to be she, but now she's him.
Huh?
And I'd like to change my pronouns to Z, Zim, and Zer.
Now Z wants you to call Zer Zim.
What's a Zim?
Don't call Zim a what? Now Z is offended.
Look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'll call them by their names. Kids, what are your names?
I'm Addison.
I'm Addison.
Addison.
Their parents are millennials. They named them all Addison.
Well, why do I have to use preferred pronouns?
Because gender is a social construct, and I was born this way.
How can he be born that way if gender is a social construct?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't question their identity, or his, or Zer's. Just follow the rules and call them they.
Who makes these rules?
They do.
This they?
No, not that they. They.
Huh?
They will get you fired if you don't use the right pronoun. They will kick you off of Twitter if you question their beliefs. They cancel comedians and offend them. They get rid of professors with different points of view.
But who's they?
Nobody knows who they are. We just have to listen to them.
Hey, if you liked that video, you can help us make more videos like that by joining the Babylon Bee YouTube channel for just $4.99 a month.
Become an exclusive subscriber. You get videos, you get full-length podcasts that are often twice as long as the one that you've been seeing.
Do it now. Smash the join button, and you can become a member, a Bee Superfan, and you'll be a lot cooler than everyone else.
Okay, our 4 minutes are up, and we are back.
We're back, and that was an eye-opener, and thank you so much to Carol Anderson, owner of Louisa, being on the show and, you know, telling us what happened. Somebody sent me an interesting text during the commercial, and take it for what it's worth, especially for those of us with tinfoil hats, and she sent this to me, and she said, "I wouldn't be surprised if Soros, the CIA, and the FBI were behind the looters." She says, "It just seems out of sorts." And I said that I was talking about that with my girlfriend Catherine today, who I love Catherine. This woman, I swear, everything she's taught me and everything that she says comes true, which is really kind of scary. But she does her research. And we were talking about that today. We were talking about the top shooting and, you know, the 2020 riots. And if you remember the 2020 riots, I mean, they literally laid out the bricks for them. So, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just a coincidental thing or, I don't know. Hard to say.
Well, and, you know, the 2020 riots, that was a lot of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And they're saying that even the January 6th, on the Capitol was Antifa, Black Lives Matter, not citizens.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing
that goes without saying. I mean, that was planned. I mean, when you look at back at all the videos that they got rid of pretty much them opening up the gates for everybody to just go in there, there's a lot of things wrong with that. You know, there's a lot of things wrong with that. And
videos,
of course, nothing ever became of it either. It just, you know, it just fizzled. So, I mean, they're trying to, you know, still indict Trump on all that stuff, but personally, I don't think anything's going to ever come of it. So,
well, especially now that, that investigation was going on in the House of Representatives, and now with the Republicans taking over the House, I'm sure the January 6th committee is going to be dissolved. I've even read things to that effect.
So, interesting stuff, and I want to... I was reading an article during the commercial, and I guess supposedly there were 10 people that were arrested for the looting crimes in Buffalo. But I haven't heard of any arrests, and clearly our guests didn't either. But I guess there was a place called The Sky's the Limit, Hair and Beauty, and I guess the owner of this guy went down there with his firearm, and, He didn't shoot anybody, but he threatened to shoot people. I guess he fired off two shots, but it wasn't at anybody in particular to try to scare these people away. In other words, to try to scare them off. And there was no comment from the Buffalo police on that. So, interesting stuff. interesting stuff. How?
Yeah,
I mean,
between defunding the police and trying to take away our firearms, I read a story about how in North Buffalo, which is a pretty nice area of the city, there are gangs going around breaking into houses, robbing, you know, while the people were home. Not, these aren't vacant houses. These were while people were home, terrorizing the people, beating them up. And between taking away our firearms so we can't protect ourselves and our families and defunding the police, they're causing anarchy. And maybe that's what they want is anarchy so they can declare martial law and really control us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, just thinking about the fact that they sent in National Guard. I mean, hello, we've had lots of storms and stuff that have gone on in Buffalo with weather, and we've never had to have the National Guard here. So maybe it's just a test run to see how people are responding. I mean, I guess they were going door to door. Doing wellness checks. They call them wellness checks on people that lost power for a long period of time. Now, please, you know, when are we doing wellness checks on? As people were dying in vehicles, we're doing wellness checks on people that lost power. A lot of it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think the wellness is to see if you've got COVID or not, personally, and then they can send you off to a FEMA camp.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think, because even Catherine said that to me today. She said maybe they're, you know, asking people if they have COVID, or maybe they're supplying a vaccine at the same time. I mean, I don't know, but a lot of it just doesn't sit right with me whatsoever. A lot of it, you know, and as usual, our politicians in New York State and polling cars, I mean, he pulled the plows during this. I mean, come on, you know, it's crazy stuff. I can hear your computer in the background every time that thing beeps, by the way.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Sorry about that.
So next week, because we're getting close to the end of our show here. Next week, is it really January 5th? Seriously?
Yep.
That can't be right. Wow. So next week, New Year, is it going to be the same shit, different year? I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, right.
You know, if all I'm saying is keep doing your prepping. But we have on, and I'm honored to have her on, her staff reached out to us again, Diane Sayre. And for those of you that don't know who she was an independent candidate running against Chuck Schumer.
Chucky,
yeah, our favorite guy. And,
yeah.
You know, she wasn't successful in that, but she's back in the ring. She hasn't stopped actually being in the ring. This woman is on fire with trying to save New York. She's amazing at exposing some of the things that go on worldwide. And she's going to be on. She's running against Kristen Gildebrand in 2024. So she's announced her candidacy. I can never get that word out, candidacy, for 2024. So we're going to be getting some updates, not just on her rerun, but on some other things that are happening. She's a wealth of information. So she's going to be on. Hopefully the following week we're going to have on Rita Palmer and John Gilmore, who were a reschedule. So we have that date set for January 12th. I just have to confirm that all up with them to be sure that they can still do that. And I think that's all we have for right now. I think we have something on the 19th, don't we? Or the week after the 12th?
I don't know. We're trying to get Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort back on again. But with the Senate and the Assembly going back into session on the 5th, you know, that might be a little tough.
Yeah, because it would be good to definitely talk about, you know, what's upcoming. And as I mentioned earlier, the bills. So they do start going back to session. In the first day of session, You know, don't fret yourself. They're not going to pass a whole bunch of bills and laws then. They usually just go in and, you know, pump themselves up with their egos and tell everybody how great they are to be there, you know, and how wonderful everything is going to be. And Hochul, I'm sure, will have her hair and nails done wonderfully without her diaper on her face. So I can't wait for them
and
to
her
start
teeth white.
Yeah.
And her teeth whitened, too, so she, you know, for when she smiles.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy, crazy. So I do have to say that I was out in some of the stores today replenishing, and lots of things are low. Lots of things. Obviously, trucks weren't able to get, you know, here the last few days. Lots of things low. I mean, I was in Whole Foods, and they were pretty much wiped out of everything. Interestingly enough, and Whole Foods usually is, you know, woke as woke can be, but they usually are stocked. So interesting that they were out of so many things. So, you know, my advice is just keep on stocking up, because I think the cold, hard winter is going to get, I think it's going to be a cold, hard 2023, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially after this weekend. They're giving us our last little Indian summer, kind of, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a week of warm temperatures. So, I know what I wanted to mention. Our gas tax is going to be going away, our little discount that she gave us. So fill up in the next couple of days, because she's not renewing that. So gas is going to jump up. And they've already projected gas to be going up now that, you know, the midterms are over come the first of the year, to be heading back towards the $4 a gallon mark.
Right. They're saying by Memorial Day, it should be hitting $4 a gallon again, which means, you know, New York State with their 40-some cents a gallon tax, which means we'll be up about $4.50.
Yeah, I think it'll be sooner than that it goes back up again. You know, they're really, really on the push for this electric everything. And, you know, it was a big epic failure, and there were some posts that of people that were in this blizzard that had electric cars, and, you know, they basically died. There was nowhere to charge them. It's just not going to be a successful thing, but they are going to push this. They've already passed those bills, you know, with having to convert over to electric by 2030 and no more buses anymore that are allowed to be made, gas, and, I mean, there's just, so it's time for people to stop being in denial about this stuff, because this stuff is real. And I'll always give Southern Prepper, Alaska Prepper. I'm trying to get Alaska Prepper on our show. I'm working on that. And, boy, if I could get him on, that would be fantastic. But, you know, I give them the plugs for, you know, they're spot on with you know, prep, do it. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore.
You know, we've had a couple shows early on prepping. We had Southern Prepper on, and we had our own prepping show, too. And, you know, by prepping, you know, talking, you know, every week when you go out shopping, or every time you go out shopping, just buy $10 more. You don't have to buy thousands and thousands of dollars of stuff. Just buy $10 more a week and stash it away and rotate, you know, mark your dates and rotate your stock. And it doesn't take long to build up, you know, a few months' supply of food. The average person only has 4 days of food in their cabinets. They're done.
Mm.
So, you know, you look at this storm, which, you know, driving ban for, what, 3 days, 4 days, something like that, and, you know, people are out of food.
Yeah. Well, those driving bans are another whole thing. Those are kind of like mandates. They really can't restrict your movement, you know, not from state to state. You know, it's written in our Constitution that, you know, you can't restrict our, maybe Constitution, Bill of Rights, I don't know where it is. But, you know, we have the right to move freely, you know, and the people in the city of Buffalo, there's absolutely no reason for them to still be snowed in. But, you know, he saves money by not using the snow plows, so might as well just let it melt now, right? So anyway, we got to get wrapping up here because it's time for Bare Faces Legal. So D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We are so glad you joined us today and this year. We're wrapping up 2022 here. We're going to see you next year, next week, January 4th. I said that, right? January 4th was Diane?
Yep.
Gosh, I hope I don't have the wrong date on there. January 4th with Diane Sayre. Is it January 4th? No, it's the 5th. Okay, I must be looking at forget it. It's getting late. We're going to wrap up the show before I really stick my foot in my mouth, right? So D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Thanks for joining us this year, guys. It's been a blast. We got another whole year coming.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.